Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Gnar Trees podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book. Capital Returns, Investing Through the Capital Cycle, brings together Edward Chancellor's reports from 2002 to 2015, written in the voice of a practitioner watching industries expand and contract. Rather than treating markets as abstract charts, the book focuses on what happens in the real economy when profits rise, new entrants appear, and investment spending surges. Chancellor highlights how capital flows, management incentives, and competitive dynamics shape long-run returns, often in ways that standard valuation screens miss. The central idea is that investor outcomes are heavily influenced by the capital cycle. High returns attract investment. Investment creates excess capacity, and excess capacity depresses future returns until the cycle turns again. Using case-driven analysis across sectors and periods, the book examines how to recognize boom conditions, how to avoid the seductive narratives that accompany them, and how to find opportunity when capital has fled and supply is being rationalized. It is both a framework and a set of lived observations across commodity markets, financials, and global equities. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, the capital cycle as a return forecasting tool. The book's core framework is that future returns are shaped less by today's popularity and more by how much capital is entering or leaving an industry. When returns are strong, companies and financiers tend to extrapolate the good times. They fund new projects, expand capacity, and encourage competitors to follow. That surge in investment is usually rationalized with persuasive stories about structural change, permanent demand, or superior business models. Yet the practical outcome is often the same: more supply, weaker pricing power, and falling margins. Conversely, when an industry has suffered losses, capital dries up, weaker players exit, and management teams become cautious. This restraint can set the stage for a recovery because supply tightens before demand necessarily improves. Chancellor uses this logic to shift analysis from static valuation to dynamic competition and capacity. The investor's edge comes from tracking capital expenditure, balance sheet expansion, project pipelines, and industry entry. The topic trains readers to ask not just, is this company cheap, but also what incentives are driving industry behavior and how that behavior is likely to change the economics over the next several years. Secondly, booms, overinvestment, and the anatomy of excess capacity. A recurring theme is how booms plant the seeds of their own decline through overinvestment. Chancellor examines how easy money, optimistic forecasts, and benchmarking pressures can lead executives to build too much too soon. In cyclical industries, this often appears as heavy spending on new mines, rigs, factories, shipping capacity, or property developments. In financial sectors, it can show up as rapid balance sheet growth, looser underwriting, and a willingness to fund marginal projects. The book stresses that overinvestment is not merely a macro story, it is a competitive process. Once a few players expand, others feel compelled to respond to defend market share, which deepens the eventual glut. Investors who focus only on near-term earnings can miss the warning signs embedded in capital spending and supply additions. This topic emphasizes practical indicators, rising CapEx relative to depreciation, aggressive guidance tied to long-dated assumptions, and deal activity that signals confidence at the top. By learning to spot excess capacity forming, readers can avoid buying at peak profitability and can recognize when high reported returns are actually an invitation for competitors to erode them. Thirdly, behavior, incentives, and the institutional drivers of mistakes, the book links the capital cycle to human behavior and institutional incentives that amplify mispricing. Chancellor highlights how executives, analysts, and investors are pulled toward consensus narratives, especially during extended expansions. Management compensation can reward growth, deal-making, and earnings targets, even when the best decision for long-term returns would be restraint. Meanwhile, asset managers face career risk. Avoiding popular sectors can be painful in the short run. So many prefer to participate in the boom and exit later, which is often too late. This creates a feedback loop, where rising prices validate optimistic projections and encourage further capital raising. The topic also covers how accounting and financial engineering can mask deteriorating economics, allowing capacity to keep expanding beyond what fundamentals justify. Readers are encouraged to examine governance, insider behavior, and financing conditions, not as side notes, but as causal forces. Understanding these incentives helps explain why cycles recur despite widespread awareness. It also provides a checklist for skepticism: when promotion intensifies, when funding is abundant, and when companies prioritize expansion over returns, the probability of disappointment rises even if the story sounds modern and inevitable. Fourthly, where opportunity emerges, distress, consolidation, and supply discipline, Chancellor argues that the most attractive opportunities often appear after capital has been destroyed and sentiment is bleak. In downturns, companies cut spending, cancel projects, and focus on survival. Lenders tighten terms, equity issuance becomes difficult, and speculative entrants disappear. These conditions can be uncomfortable for investors, yet they can mark the early stages of a favorable turn in the capital cycle. The book explores how supply discipline can restore industry profitability before headlines turn positive. It also emphasizes the role of consolidation and capacity rationalization. Bankruptcies remove excess supply, mergers reduce competitive intensity, and surviving firms adopt more conservative capital allocation. For an investor, the challenge is distinguishing temporary trouble from structural decline. This topic encourages looking for industries where the pain has forced genuine change, such as reduced CapEx commitments, improved balance sheets, and a clear path to tighter supply. It also highlights the importance of time horizon, because cycle-based investing may require patience while the fundamentals heal. By focusing on the mechanics of supply and capital flows, readers learn to find value where it is supported by improving industry structure rather than by hope alone. Lastly, applying the framework across sectors and market regimes. Because the book compiles reports across 2002 to 2015, it shows how the capital cycle lens adapts to different environments, from commodity upswings to credit booms and post-crisis policy regimes. The practical lesson is that the same underlying process can manifest differently depending on the industry. In resource sectors, long lead times and high fixed costs can make cycles especially violent. In technology or asset-light businesses, the supply response may appear through competitor entry, pricing pressure, or shifting capital toward customer acquisition rather than physical capacity. In financials, the cycle often runs through leverage, underwriting standards, and the availability of wholesale funding. Chancellor's case-driven style encourages readers to build sector-specific indicators while keeping the same core question: is capital being allocated in a way that will undermine future returns or set up recovery? This topic also underscores the value of historical thinking. By comparing current conditions with prior episodes, readers can recognize recurring patterns of exuberance and capitulation. The result is a flexible decision framework that complements valuation, helps avoid crowded trades, and supports contrarian positioning when the capital cycle is turning. In conclusion, this book is best suited for investors who want a grounded way to think about cycles, competition, and long-run returns, including equity analysts, portfolio managers, value investors, and serious individual investors. It is also useful for business-minded readers who care about capital allocation and industry structure, because it explains why great-looking profits often attract the very behavior that erodes them. The key benefit is a practical shift in attention. Instead of relying mainly on multiples or macro forecasts, you learn to watch CapEx, capacity, financing conditions, and incentives as leading indicators of future profitability. That can improve decision-making in both bull markets and downturns, helping you avoid buying peak earnings and giving you a disciplined method for hunting opportunity when conditions feel uncomfortable. Compared with many investing books that offer timeless slogans or single-factor screens, Capital Returns stands out for its applied, report-based perspective and its consistent focus on real-world industry dynamics. The compilation format also provides repeated examples across years, which makes the framework easier to internalize and apply. If you want a durable edge rooted in how businesses behave, it is worth buying. If you would like to support Edward Chancellor, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.